This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The photos from Abu Ghraib sickened and outraged me and left a stain on our nation's reputation. And the president has made clear that he condemns his conduct and that these activities are inconsistent with his policies. He has also made clear that America stands against and will not tolerate torture under any circumstances. I share his resolve that torture and abuse will not be tolerated by this administration.
Attorney General nominee Alberto Gonzalez in his opening statement at confirmation hearings on Thursday. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And, of course, the news this week is in so many ways still dominated by the Asian tsunami.
Yes.
Death toll continues to rise. Donations continue to be pledged. But we do want to begin with some important domestic stories this week when we have the chance. Mr. Gonzalez's confirmation hearings. When he was White House counsel, of course, Mr. Gonzalez wrote a memo, which I think we can fairly say he used the word quaint and made it newly famous, saying that the Geneva Conventions were quaint when applied to terror suspects. On Thursday, Mr. Gonzalez said in the strongest possible terms that he rejects the use of torture. Did he succeed in making his case?
Well, I don't know. Let me read you a brief excerpt of his day-long testimony. You tell me if you are persuaded by it. The question, can American soldiers or intelligence agents legally engage in torture under any circumstances? Answer, I don't believe so, but I want to get back to you on that, and I would not want to provide a misleading answer. That is the way most of that day went. And were you convinced? Was I convinced? Let me try to put this in what I consider to be some historic perspective. We're dealing here with a period that shortly followed the 9/11 tragedy, when the administration was running mad and scared about the possibility of another 9/11. When if the White House said, we want to go after these people, we'd like to find out if anybody has any possible information that could lead us to some of these terrorists, we want to do that. That was the atmosphere in which Gonzalez was making these recommendations. And so all you can say is he went where the president wanted him to go, using almost any methods available to lead us to terrorist conspiracy, and he was not going to be the one to be too gentle with enemy combatants.
Is there any chance Mr. Gonzalez will not be confirmed, or that the vote will even be close?
Oh, very little. The Democrats indicate they will not try to block him. I think they're saving their ammunition for battles still to come, over judges mainly, especially the possibility that Justice Rehnquist, who is suffering from thyroid cancer, may not make it for very long. And, of course, if there's going to be filibuster, if there's going to be real fight, it's going to be over the Supreme Court.
Republicans in the House of Representatives made some changes to House ethics rules this week, although they actually relented on one change they made at the end of the last Congress.
Yes.
In your judgment, how much have ethics rules been weakened or sharpened?
People in Congress tend to do right only when they're subjected to a lot of heat from the public. And so the Republicans on the Ethics Committee backed off from saying that Tom DeLay, Majority Leader, could continue functioning as Majority Leader even if he were to be indicted. So they backed off from saying that. They did, however, fix the ethics rule so that no inquiry can begin without Republican permission. You know, Scott, there seems to be almost a competition, as you sit here in Washington, about who is best in flouting general rules of ethics. I'm thinking that here is the House doing its little bit, and now the executive has done its little bit. It's been revealed that the conservative commentator Armstrong Williams, protege of Strom Thurmond, protege of Justice Clarence Thomas, got almost $250,000 for what? For plugging the No Child Left Behind administration bill on education. You know, Scott, I get a little jealous. I've never been offered $250,000 to say nice things about the administration.
Well, I how much have you been offered?
I have to go back and look at my books.
Off the record, then. President Bush met with congressional leaders on Thursday. Talk about his plans to try and reform Social Security. He wants to allow workers to divert some payroll taxes into private investment accounts. How do you see the contest in Congress shaping up over this issue?
Well, I think it goes like this. It is not yet clear what exactly is going to be in the administration's bill. The president talks of unveiling that, say, during the State of the Union message. We do know that he wants to partially privatize Social Security by establishing these individual investment accounts into which some of the payroll tax money would go. The Republicans are divided. I don't know where the Democrats are, but the Republicans are divided on how that money should be made up. Judging by a White House memo that leaked the past week, what they're thinking of is cutting back on benefits. Some Republicans say that would be absolute disaster for the Republican Party. Newt Gingrich, Jack Kemp, say that would be that would cost the Republicans their congressional majorities. And so, what we don't know, we know what they want, but they don't know how they plan to finance it.
Is it your impression the American public is beginning to react on this issue, either to say we don't want benefits cut or to say, look, let's be realistic, we know if we don't do something, we won't get any benefits because the system will be tapped dry?
Yeah, well, the Social Security did not make much of a dent during the election campaign, and my impression is that the Republic hasn't really quite zeroed in on this. They're waiting to see something that they understand. Now, of course, they'll hear a lot. There's $25 million been taken by both sides in order to flaunt their general ideas, and maybe Americans will react when they see a few like Harry and Louise sound bites to help them along.
Palestinians vote a new leadership tomorrow. Mahmoud Abbas certainly seems to be the clear front runner. Do you think his apparent election has a chance of revitalizing the Middle East peace process?
Well, one thing to say is that he's got an immense majority, like 60% of the votes, apparently, in polls that have been taken. The other is that he's not yet brought over into his corner, the Hamas, the militants. And I think that it'll take some time before we see whether he can do. Now, if he's talking about, for example, about the Zionist enemy, I guess he needs to do that. That does not make a terribly great impression in Israel. We are, I must say, on the verge of what may be the best chance to resume peace negotiations in a long, long time. But whether that best chance is a good chance remains to be seen.
Finally, Dan, a worldwide donor conference in Indonesia on Thursday, which pledged billions of dollars for the recovery of areas hit by the tsunami. What do you think was accomplished at that summit meeting?
I think the world was brought together in a way I've not seen the world brought together for a very long time. I think they're doing a marvelous job.
Okay. And the United Nations leadership, of course, is now taking over that recovery effort.
That's right. But Secretary Colin Powell is remaining very active there.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore.